Over half of the software being shipped into the world right now wasn't actually typed by a human.
Yeah, 54% to be exact.
54%. I mean, that is just the baseline reality of 2026. The whole image of the lone developer sitting in a dark room, staring at a blinking cursor and hammering out syntax line by line.
That era is effectively over.
It really is. The blinking cursor is no longer waiting for you to type. It's waiting for you to steer.
Exactly. The role has just fundamentally shifted from generation to curation.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at a landscape where the barrier to entry hasn't just lowered, it's, well, the foundational mechanics of how we get from an idea to a running app have been completely rewired.
Right. And we know you are here listening because you want to understand that rewiring. You want to bypass all the noise, the information overload, and just grab the actual mechanics of how this works. So today, we're pulling from a massive stack of 2026 data.
Yeah, independent surveys, the DORA report, architectural guides, all of it.
Exactly. And we're using that to dissect three specific tools driving this massive shift: Lovable AI, Bolt.new, and Cursor AI. Our mission in this deep dive is to basically demystify how these platforms operate under the hood and how you can use them to go from like a plain English concept to a totally production-ready web app.
Because, you know, the skill to get software built today is not raw typing speed anymore or memorizing syntax.
Right.
The new superpower, the one that is highly compensated, is architectural judgment. It's the ability to effectively manage the AI.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we look at the mechanics of those specific tools, we really need to look at the broader adoption numbers, right? Because they kind of provide the context for why these platforms are even built the way they are.
Yeah, context is everything here.
So, pulling from the recent DORA program metrics, we are seeing an 85 to 90% adoption rate of AI coding tools among professional developers.
Which is staggering. And that data point becomes so much more significant when you actually look at the velocity of that adoption.
Yeah.
I mean, the DORA report highlights a 14 percentage point jump in a single year.
Wow, just 1 year.
Just 1 year. And these aren't developers like occasionally using a chatbot to fix a regular expression. The data shows them utilizing integrated AI systems for several hours every single working day.
Which brings us right back to that 54% metric. With over half of all generated code now originating from an AI model, and I think that was up from what, around 28% back in 2025?
Yeah, roughly 28%.
Right. So the timeline from having a concept to actually deploying functioning software has totally collapsed. And it changes the whole persona of the modern developer. I mean, you aren't a solo author staring at a blank page anymore.
No, not at all.
You operate much more like a managing editor, right? Like you're overseeing this highly prolific, incredibly fast, but maybe potentially careless junior writer. Your daily function is to assign the architecture, review the output, catch the logical fallacies, and just refine the drafts.
What's fascinating here is a massive countertrend hiding inside those exact metrics.
Oh, like what?
Well, you might assume that with 54% of code being generated by AI, the industry's trust in that output would be peaking, right?
Yeah, you'd think so if everyone is using it.
Right. But the data shows the exact opposite. Trust in AI-generated code has actually steadily fallen as the usage volume has skyrocketed.
Wait, really? So the tool's becoming ubiquitous, like everyone has it, but the output is being scrutinized more heavily than ever
Yeah,
before.
because the industry consensus in 2026 is that AI systems consistently generate code that is almost right.
Almost right. That sounds dangerous.
It is. It creates structural near misses. Like an AI will confidently spit out a module that looks syntactically perfect, but it might introduce a really subtle memory leak or mismanage a database connection pool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that exact gap, the space between looks functional and is structurally sound, that is where the value of your human developer is absolutely concentrated now.
Right, so that structural understanding is the premium. The market isn't paying for text generation anymore. It's paying for the judgment to identify that near miss before it brings down your whole production environment.
Precisely.
So, if the primary objective is now reviewing output rather than, just typing boilerplate, I feel like we should start by analyzing the platform designed to give you maximum functional output with the absolute minimum technical input.
That makes sense.
Let's look at the mechanics of Lovable AI.
Yeah, so Lovable AI operates as a comprehensive application builder. Its primary function is basically to ingest a plain English prompt and output a complete full-stack web application.
And when you say full stack, you mean?
I mean, it isn't just generating front-end layout components. It's simultaneously writing the user interface, scaffolding the back-end logic, and wiring up the database connections to store state all at once.
That's wild. I mean, looking at the documentation, it provides a very clear use case. You can open the platform with zero local installation right in the browser and prompt it to build something like a personal expense tracker.
Yeah, that's a great example.
You just specify, hey, I need user authentication, a form to input expenses with categories, a dashboard to display running totals, and the ability to delete entries. And it just constructs the entire stack.
Entire thing.
But, okay, looking at this critically for a second, if I am generating an entire application from a single paragraph, aren't I just basically hitting an API that spits out a pre-compiled generic template?
I can see why you'd think that.
Right. Because, I mean, who actually owns the state management or the database schema in that scenario? Never. It really feels like you risk renting a cookie cutter app that you can never fundamentally alter or own.
Well, that is the historical trap of legacy website builders, right?
Mm.
But Lovable handles the underlying architecture quite differently. It doesn't rely on locked-in proprietary templates at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, it utilizes an underlying code generation engine that writes and exports standard modular React and Node code.
Okay, so it's actual code.
Real code. You have full access to the repository. But the more crucial mechanism, honestly, is how it handles iteration. You aren't meant to rely on that single initial prompt.
Right, because nobody gets it right on the first try anyway.
Exactly. Lovable operates on a system of conversational editing. It's continually updating an abstract syntax tree based on your ongoing feedback.
So it's basically diffing the code base in real time as you give it new parameters?
Precisely. Let's say you review that expense tracker it built.
Yeah.
And you realize, well, the data is useless without a way to filter by month.
Yeah, you need a filter.
Right. You don't have to navigate through the component tree to manually write a new filtering function and update the state yourself. You just prompt the AI with a micro instruction like, add a dropdown to filter expenses by month.
And it just does it.
The system analyzes the current state of the application, writes the logic, and injects it directly into the existing code. So the operational secret here isn't crafting one flawless encyclopedic prompt at the start.
Right, that never works anyway.
Never. It's utilizing chain of thought instructions, breaking your architectural needs into small, testable, conversational steps.
That goes right back to the managing editor analogy from earlier. You wouldn't hand a junior developer a 50-page technical specification and just disappear for a week.
God, no. You'd check in constantly.
Well, right. You give them the core data model, you review the implementation, and then you say, okay, great. Now let's wire up the JWT tokens for user accounts, which, by the way, Lovable natively integrates.
It does, yeah. It is a highly effective engine for a founder or a designer who just needs to take a concept to a polished functional prototype immediately.
But, you know, that polished abstraction is definitely a double-edged sword. If Lovable just hands you a finished product, you miss the fundamental mechanics of how those components interact.
You do lose that visibility, definitely.
Right. So for someone who actually wants to understand the web development process, but still wants to avoid the friction of managing local development environments, the ecosystem has to offer a different approach, right?
Yeah, and Built.new represents that necessary bridge. If Lovable is optimized for the final product, Bolt is optimized for visibility and structural understanding.
Okay, so it shows you the work.
Exactly. It's a logical progression for a user who is transitioning from simply requiring an application to wanting to really comprehend the underlying web architecture.
And the defining feature of Bolt is its environment, isn't it? Because it is entirely browser-based.
100% in the browser.
I mean, anyone who has tried to learn modern web development remembers the sheer friction of local setup. It's a nightmare. You could spend 3 days just fighting with your terminal.
Trying to install the correct version of Node.js.
Yes. Resolving package conflicts, configuring local ports, all before you ever even write a simple hello world function.
It's discouraging.
Yeah.
But Bolt eliminates that entire initialization phase by utilizing web containers. It is essentially running a native Node.js environment directly inside your browser tab.
That's just crazy to think about.
It really is. When you prompt Bolt to create a project, it isn't just generating text. It's actually writing the file system, installing the necessary NPM packages, spinning up a live development server, and deploying a public URL, all client-side.
It makes me think of like a transparent mechanical watch.
Oh, I like that.
Right. With Lovable, you get a beautiful digital watch face. You know what time it is, but the internal mechanisms are hidden from you. But Bolt gives you the transparent casing. You can look right through the glass and see every single gear turning.
That's exactly how it feels.
You see the exact file tree on the left. You see the routing logic. You literally watch the React components update the state, and you see the live server rendering the interface on the right. You get to observe the entire mechanical process, but you don't have to, you know, machine the watch case yourself or lubricate the gears just to get it ticking.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Bolt is providing a highly specific educational value here. It introduces learners to enterprise-grade web technologies within a really safe sandboxed environment.
Right, because you can't break your actual computer.
Exactly. You are interacting with actual JavaScript.
Mm.
You are observing how Next.js handles server-side rendering. And you are navigating the exact same file structures that professional engineering teams use every day.
So it's real-world practice.
Totally. If you prompt Bolt to build, say, a coding bootcamp landing page with a contact form that validates email addresses, it will scaffold the components.
Mm-hmm.
But if that validation logic fails for some reason, you don't just blindly prompt it for a fix like you might in Lovable.
Right, you can actually look at the code.
You can open the specific utility file, read the regular expression it generated, and understand why it failed.
So it gives you the velocity of an AI generator, but it forces you to acknowledge the file structure. You are looking at the actual engine.
Yeah.
But eventually, I mean, if the goal is to manage production-level software, that browser sandbox has to become a limitation, right?
Absolutely.
You need to pull the repository down to your local machine, manage your own dependencies, and just take absolute ownership of the architecture. And I think that transition brings us to the heavyweight tool in the 2026 stack, Cursor AI.
Yes. Bolt shows you the gears. Cursor is the professional workshop. Cursor is a dedicated local code editor. It's actually a fork of Visual Studio Code, meaning it retains the entire extension ecosystem and interface that the industry already relies on.
Right, so it feels familiar to developers.
Very familiar, but the differentiator is the deep structural AI integration baked into the editor's core logic.
And the mechanism that really separates Cursor from just like a standard autocomplete plugin is its code base awareness, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the magic right there.
It doesn't just read the active file you happen to have open. It indexes your entire local repository. You can highlight some deeply nested custom hook, open the inline chat, and ask, hey, where is this data mutating? And the AI understands the context across your entire project.
It achieves that awareness through local indexing and vector embeddings. Basically, Cursor maps your entire project into a vector database.
Okay, so it understands the relationship between all the files.
Exactly. When you issue a command, it utilizes Retrieval Augmented Generation, or RE. It searches your project for the most mathematically relevant files, pulls those specific code snippets into the AI model's context window, and then formulates a highly accurate response.
Wow.
And this allows it to execute complex multi-file edits. You can instruct Cursor to migrate the authentication state from local storage to a global context provider, and it will analyze your directory, propose edits across 5 different files simultaneously, and present a diff for you to review.
Okay, but that capability brings up a really crucial tension regarding fundamentals, I think.
How so?
Well, if the vector embeddings are so precise that the model knows exactly which 5 files to update for a state change and can just write the boilerplate perfectly, it kind of feels like traditional version control might become redundant for a newcomer.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Right. If the machine writes the code and the machine tracks the state across the project, why do I need to spend time mastering Git commands or reading cryptic terminal errors? If it hallucinates a bad edit, can't I just prompt it to revert the changes?
Okay, relying on the AI to manage its own mistakes is the most dangerous operational trap in modern development.
Really? The most dangerous?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Models are inherently probabilistic, not deterministic. They are exceptionally confident, especially when they're hallucinating.
Ah, yes. The confident liar problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
An AI might suggest a multi-file edit that perfectly updates your user interface, but silently breaks your database schema, or worse, introduces a vulnerability in your payment routing.
Which goes right back to that almost right code metric we talked about earlier. It creates a structural near miss that looks functional on the surface.
Exactly. And if you lack fundamental developer discipline, you are entirely helpless when that near miss hits production. Without rigorous version control, like without actually committing your work via Git, one hallucinated multi-file edit can overwrite your core logic.
Yeah.
And prompting the AI to fix it will often just compound the errors, destroying days of work.
So Cursor demands professional rigor.
It demands it. You have to
None.
interface with the terminal, you have to manage your package dependencies, and you absolutely must review every single line of a proposed diff before merging it. The AI is a highly capable but occasionally reckless colleague. You are the senior engineer responsible for the deployment.
Which naturally brings us to the economic reality of this whole dynamic. The ability to exercise that disciplined judgment reading, terminal logs, identifying an AI hallucination before it merges, managing complex architectural state, that is the exact skill that the 2026 market is compensating heavily.
Oh, massively. The demand for that specific profile is just surging, and the geography of that demand is highly concentrated.
Yeah, I was looking at the labor analytics, and it indicates that India is really at the epicenter of this shift. They're projected to host over 1 million active AI and machine learning engineering roles by the end of this year.
A million roles in a single market really shows how rapidly enterprise companies are pivoting.
It's unbelievable. And diving into the geographical data, Hyderabad is capturing a massive share of this expansion.
Yeah, Hyderabad has become a primary hub for tech infrastructure. Major product organizations are scaling their campuses there specifically because the operational costs and the cost of living present a much more sustainable model than traditional hubs like Bengaluru.
Right, which allows compensation packages to stretch further for the talent pool.
Exactly. And those compensation bands are aggressive right now, seeing 15 to 20% annualized growth.
Looking at the recent salary distributions, the market has really segmented into highly specialized tracks. You have roles designated as AI front-end developers and specialized prompt engineers focusing on model optimization.
The specialization is key.
And an AI full-stack developer is currently commanding anywhere from 5 to 12 lakhs per annum. But the freelance sector is even more aggressive, isn't it?
Very much so. Independent developers who have mastered these tools to rapidly prototype and deploy client architectures are scaling up to 1.5 lakhs or more per month.
Wow.
Yeah. And the defining variable across all these compensation bands is a distinct salary premium for developers who possess the web literacy to steer AI safely.
Because enterprise clients do not pay for lines of code.
No, they pay for secure, scalable, and maintainable systems.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Operating these advanced AI tools without a baseline understanding of web architecture is kind of like stepping into the cockpit of a commercial airliner, engaging the autopilot, and assuming you don't need to know how to read the altitude gauges.
That's a terrifying thought, but very accurate.
Right. The autopilot is incredible at maintaining cruising speed. But the moment you hit severe turbulence or the sensors feed bad data, you are going to put the plane into the ground. You have to be able to read the instruments.
This raises an important question, one that dominates industry forums right now. Are AI systems going to replace software engineers?
Right, the million-dollar question.
But analyzing the 2026 landscape, the data provides a definitive no.
Thank goodness.
The AI consumes the routine labor. It scaffolds the boilerplate, it formats the syntax, and it accelerates the initial draft. But architectural judgment, deciding how microservices communicate, ensuring data compliance, anticipating edge cases with malformed inputs, that judgment is now the primary bottleneck.
And in any economic system, whatever resource is scarce commands the highest premium.
Exactly.
It all comes down to technical ownership. Whether you are a non-technical founder trying to, you know, validate a market hypothesis, or an engineer looking to capture that salary premium, you have to dictate the architecture.
You have to be in control.
So based on the sources we've dismantled today, here is the functional roadmap for building that ownership.
The initial step is overcoming the friction of deployment. Start with bolt.new right in your browser.
Yep, keep it simple.
Use a prompt to generate a basic front-end component, like a portfolio layout, and utilize the immediate deployment feature. The goal here isn't complexity. It's experiencing the velocity of a modern development server without the setup overhead.
And once you understand how components render, move over to lovable AI. Challenge it to build a system requiring state management, like an application that authenticates users and writes data to a backend.
Right. Get a feel for the data flow.
Use the conversational editing to incrementally modify the database schema so you can actually observe how the front-end requests communicate with the server logic.
And then, when you are finally prepared to manage a production environment, transition your workflow entirely into Cursor AI. This is where you develop professional discipline.
Get your hands dirty.
Exactly. You clone your repository locally. You utilize the vector search to navigate your code base. You interrogate the AI about complex functions using the inline chat. And you rigorously use Git to snapshot your progress before authorizing any multi-file edits.
So here is the actionable mandate for you. Select one of these three platforms and build a localized project this week. The scope doesn't matter. Deploy it, intentionally break it by feeding it corrupted data or breaking a route, and then use the AI tooling to debug and resolve the error.
That breaking and fixing process is invaluable.
It really is. The hiring data in 2026 makes one thing incredibly clear. An applicant with three functional deployed projects they can architecturally defend in an interview is infinitely more valuable than a resume stacked with theoretical certificates.
Because it provides empirical proof that you possess the judgment to navigate a broken system.
That is the ultimate differentiator. Now, as we close out this deep dive, we want to leave you with a final architectural thought to kind of unpack on your own time.
Okay, let's hear it.
We established at the top of the show that 54% of all code currently being shipped is generated by an AI model. And given the adoption metrics, that percentage is only going to scale upward.
Right. The models will just become more efficient at abstracting complex logic.
Yeah. So extrapolate that trend 5 or 10 years into the future. Imagine a scenario where the core infrastructure of the internet banking ledgers, healthcare portals, global logistics routing is operating on tens of millions of lines of code that no single human being ever conceptualized from scratch.
That's a heavy thought.
How will the developers of 2035 debug a critical system failure when the original author of the architecture was an AI model that didn't document its logical leaps and doesn't even remember writing the application?
Wow.
When the blinking cursor finally stops waiting for us to type out the syntax and instead starts waiting for us to untangle the massive automated webs it wove for us, will we have retained the fundamental engineering skills to even know what we are looking at?
Maintaining that foundational literacy is absolutely the most critical challenge facing the next generation of engineers.
Something to consider the next time you authorize an AI to rewrite your entire project. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep building and keep reading the code.